Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who likes to dine and dash, Pete Chwaba.
Hey, Wisconsin. How are we doing tonight? Great to be with you on this Tuesday night, broadcasting live from downtown Green Bay, statewide. That's all over the state, folks. That's what that means. So wherever you're joining us from, welcome to Nightlight. We have a great show planned for you tonight. As always, we hope to entertain, make you laugh, make you think, and engage you, and hope that you contribute to the show via text message or over the stream. However you want to participate, please do. We love when you guys are part of the show. Got a great show tonight at 7:35. Our first guest is Asher Brooks. Asher owns a comedy club in Door County. That's right. Door County has a comedy club. It's in Sturgeon Bay, and they have a show tonight. So Asher took time out of his schedule to do a very quick interview to maybe try to get some butts in the seats tonight or for the next show in September. It's a once-a-month dealio, and it's in Sturgeon Bay. It's called the Firehouse Comedy Club. Asher is a comedian and club owner and has been on the show before. So we'll talk to Asher about tonight's show and what he's got coming up and all things Door County. I just spent almost a week in Door County, a couple weeks ago on vacation. And one of my favorite places. I love that they have a comedy club there. And Conrad, have you been to Door County?
Yeah.
You seem almost anti-Door County, like you don't mention it much, and it makes me think maybe you are not a fan.
No, I love going up to Door County. It's beautiful.
So have you gone there like on vacation with families or?
So the last, we didn't do it this year.
Okay.
Because it didn't line up, but the last couple years, I've actually went up with a group of my friends, and we rented out a place and stayed up in Sturgeon Bay, and then the next was Egg Harbor.
Both awesome place.
Yes.
I mean, Sturgeon Bay is almost like a city. I know it is Door County, but I love when you go up further in the peninsula, it is so beautiful. There's great restaurants, there's great culture, and a lot of different theater companies. And, you know, now there's comedy there. That's pretty cool. So we'll talk to Asher about that at 7:35. And then our old buddy Frank Anderson joins the program at 8:20 tonight. Frank and I are going to talk about Wisconsin music. Frank is a very accomplished musician. He plays more instruments than I've ever heard of. He's played backup on albums for Butch Vig and Garbage and the Know-It-All Boyfriends and what are some other great bands? The Young Fresh Fellows? I don't know if that's one of Frank's bands or not, but he's great. Frank has played with some of the biggest names in rock and roll. He's also directed documentaries and commercials, and he's a phenomenal editor. The guy is a bona fide cultural renaissance man, and he is coming here tonight to discuss his website, wisconsinology.com. Kind of a side, not a hustle. I don't know if he makes money at it or if he does it just for fun, but Frank knows a lot about Wisconsin and the history of our state and just lots of really cool tidbits. So we'll talk Wisconsinology. We'll talk music with Frank. One of our discussions is going to center around bands that are from Wisconsin that we think are great. And I'm excited to get Frank's input on that. He's a guy who is in the know, and he's here at 8:20 tonight. And then, God, we got a lot to get to. So I have a clip I want to play. I found this. Actually, I heard this years ago. It was Lyndon Johnson ordering pants. And if you haven't heard this clip, you're going to want to stick around for this. We're going to play this in segment two. It's Lyndon Baines Johnson on the phone ordering pants, and he does not hold back. Yeah, we're doing that because this is his birthday today. So, you know, a pretty good president had to get out of the race because of the Vietnam War. Things kind of went south, but he was a very good public servant until all that happened. And I know that stuff comes out about people after the fact, and we try to cancel them sometimes. But for back in the day, when you talk to people, he was a very accomplished and a very well-respected politician who could really bring people together. And man, could that guy order a pair of trousers. So we'll play that clip for you in just a bit. It's pretty funny. And then, Conrad, you had something. This kind of made me laugh, and it made us think of our question tonight. You had a bad smell in your apartment building.
Yes.
Please elaborate.
So I leave my apartment this morning, and It's very unpleasant.
Okay. What time is this?
It is about 2 p.m. something around there.
Okay.
And yeah, it smelled horrible. And the one smell that is burnt popcorn. It stunk the whole place up. Like, I'm talking about in the hallway.
Yeah. It's not a good smell. Sometimes popcorn that's not burnt doesn't smell great. But you're saying burnt popcorn, like, what would you equate it to? Why was it so bad? I can't picture that.
Because, well, one thing, it sticks around.
Okay.
It smells like just, you know, that smell of whenever you burn something. But for some reason with popcorn, you have it burnt in the microwave.
Yeah.
It keeps that smell around.
Okay.
I've had it happen to me a couple times.
And
you
had to leave the building. You were leaving anyway, but you would have had to leave the building, you said.
Yes. I mean, I didn't smell it in my apartment, so that was good. But as soon as I got out there, yeah, it smelled terrible.
I just cannot picture that. Or you know, I guess I've never smelled really bad burnt popcorn. But some popcorn does smell bad. You get that like greasy, I don't know, whatever it is. But yeah. Maybe that's part of what played into it. But so that leads us to tonight's Nightlight question of the night. What do you think is the most foul stench? What is something that just you smell and you want to vomit from the inside out? What do you think is the most foul stench that you have experienced? You can let us know on the text line at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or let us know on the stream. Conrad, how can people watch on the stream if they so choose?
Yeah, so we're under Facebook with Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, WGBW. On YouTube, we're under WGBW or Civic Media, and on X, we're under Civic Media.
So you can find us somehow, folks, but you can contact us on the stream, the text line, or on the app. The app is really easy. If you have not downloaded the app, you have to do it. You get all your great Civic Media shows throughout the day. Nightlight is on statewide, so you just click on the little icon next to any of the stations, and you can let us know what your thoughts are, regardless of what we're talking. It's always great to have people participating. So you, in addition to your whole smell thing today, this is probably a bad reference, but are we getting a phone call? It sounds like someone's kitchen in the 1970s with that ringer. Sorry, we're taking a phone call here, folks. All right, I just found out today, too. This was kind of cool. One of my idols, Bruce Springsteen, Forbes magazine has just announced he is a billionaire. I'm amazed when athletes or artists become billionaires. Now, sometimes like movie makers and producers, I get that. They make so much money at the box office. That doesn't surprise me. But an artist, someone who writes songs or TV shows or even artistry on the court or the field, like Michael Jordan's a billionaire. LeBron James is probably, if not getting close. I'm fascinated by that. Bruce Springsteen's net worth is now $1.1 billion, according to Forbes. And he's still going strong. He hasn't even hit his peak yet, ladies and gentlemen. We have a phone call?
Yes, we do. It's Mark from the Sack.
All right, Mark from the Sack. I love it. How you doing, Mark?
Yeah, doing pretty good. Probably the worst stench I've ever experienced is gutting chickens when we had chickens when I was a kid. That we had to dress those. But I have a popcorn story that back in the, you know, this has got to be some 20 years ago, I was a floor captain in my office. That and I was going through the cashier's, you know, going through the little hallway that our cashier's office is at, where we had the office microwave, and I noticed something, and I actually forgot the popcorn in the microwave and it was still going, and I had to take the microwave outside because the popcorn was on fire inside the popcorn bag inside the microwave. I had to haul the microwave oven outside. We actually had to replace the microwave because it smelled so bad when you opened it up, that it was just because I just can't believe the smoke alarm didn't go off in the building, you know, sprinklers and everything.
That's pretty. Those are some pretty faulty smoke alarms. But
it was ready to if somebody would open that microwave up, that's what would have happened. Because it was just you know that and fortunately I came through and got it outside before disaster really happened. But it was. You know, kind of,
heroin.
I know what that burnt popcorn, I know what that burnt popcorn smell is, and that this was kind of beyond burnt.
So you're vouching for Conrad, but also, do you remember the smell? Like, if you picture it in a sense memory situation, can you remember what it smelled like?
Oh yeah, and dressing the chickens too. I mean, I'd rather field dress a deer than a chicken any day.
That seems worse.
It's chicken is far worse, far far worse.
That's fantastic, Mark. Thanks so much for the call, buddy.
Appreciate
it. You got it. All right, so Conrad, I'm not saying I didn't believe you, but the fact that you have a voucher, that yeah. does help your case a little bit. And but the chicken guts, he seemed to think the popcorn smelled worse.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the chicken guts would smell worse, but...
You remember my squirrel story.
Yes, all right, yes, so, and I had the same one too with the raccoon.
Dead and decaying? And, just yeah. absolutely terrible. I will say that is my worst... smell were the squirrels. I almost vomited. I tried to get rid of them myself. For those of you that weren't listening, about a month ago, we had dead squirrels in a garbage can filled with rain. My son dumped it out, and these waterlogged, gross, decayed squirrels came out. It was about five of them. And I tried to do the right thing and dispose of them myself, but the smell was too bad. I was dry heaving for 5 minutes. So we had to call somebody to come and take them away, and we did. The other stench, I will say, was my own, and it was during COVID.
Oh, wait, you said your own?
My own smell, and here's where I'm going with this. I'm a pretty, like, I don't really have a lot of, I don't think I smell exorbitantly. I think I take care of myself. I use deodorant, soap, blah, 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 deodorant when necessary. During COVID, a buddy of mine and me tried to see how long we could go without showering. And we played this game in our neighborhood called soccer golf. So we were outside a lot during COVID. COVID was not so bad for us in our neighborhood. I don't know if I should continue with this. Dude, it is the smell between the two of us. We were playing this game called soccer golf. It was so bad, like we could smell each other while we were walking. And it's like, all right, this game's over. We proved a point. I don't know. We didn't prove any point. We were just like, you got time to kill. I grew a mustache. What do you do during COVID? All right, we got a phone call. We're going to take the call and read some of your texts when we come back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Here she comes now. And it comes as no surprise to me with another guy. Here comes my baby. Here she comes now. Walking with a love. Now he's in the Billionaire Boys Club. Bruce Springsteen, according to Forbes magazine, they estimate conservatively he is worth $1.1 billion. Tours, albums, the guy's won Emmys, Oscars. Crazy. Love the boss. We have a phone call.
Conrad? Yes, we do.
Our question tonight is, what is the most foul stench you've ever experienced? The text line is lighting up. People like this one. All right, put the call through. Who are we talking to here?
Terry from Cottage Grove.
All right, Terry, how's it going tonight, buddy?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Go ahead.
This is hands down the worst in the world.
Okay.
So a few years ago, my husband and I came back from a 10-day vacation, opened the garage door, put the remote, and two snakes fell into the garage.
Oh.
So I was like, well, I got to get them out. I yelled to my husband, hey, will garter snakes bite? And he's like, I don't think so. So me, of course, I just like, okay, I'll just grab them. I grabbed them and threw them into the garden, and I smelled this horrific smell. It's nothing of this earth, nothing that you can even describe. They had, I guess what they do is vent when they're scared.
Oh.
And it was on my arm. I can't even describe how awful this thing was. It was like nothing any mammal could ever do. It's like nothing that you can't describe it.
What are they?
So I would say snakes.
And it's like a venom or something that they shoot or
no,
what?
No, they vent. It's like they call it vent. So it's like, I didn't feel anything. So I don't know what it was, but they like released something on my arm. I was able to wash it off with soap and water, but honest to God, the worst thing that I have ever smelled in my life. And I'm like, what, who does that? Oh, will snakes, will it bite me? I don't know. I don't think so. Okay, I'll just grab it.
Wow. You're pretty brave there, Terry. That's
Yeah, we got snake problems, but we just actually tried to get a deck built, and the guys left because we had snakes, so I had to clear them out for them.
Oh, my gosh. And they... You need St. Patrick to lead the snakes out of your backyard, I think.
Something. Anyway, that is, honest to God, the worst thing.
That's
ever.
A great one. Thanks so much for the call, Terry. Have
you
a great
bet.
Night.
Take care.
I did not anticipate that. I had no idea that they did that.
I didn't either. I just thought they just slithered around the garden.
But I can't imagine they'd smell good anyway. yeah. Sherry from Horicon says, hi, good evening, Pete and Conrad. Hello, Sherry. How are you? Sherry says, dog diarrhea. I've witnessed that with my eyes and with my nose. Dog diarrhea is absolutely terrible. And it's usually our fault because we give them food or they get into food they shouldn't have. It's like a dog eats a canister of Pringles somehow. That's not supposed to happen, you know, and it's terrible. That's a great one, Sherry. From the 608. Oh, here's Anna. She says the most foul smell is from a sewer.
Yeah.
That's a pretty bad one.
Yep.
Yeah, no question about that. And then here's Terry's text. I love this because Terry texted in. She says, snakes, if they vent on you, I like nothing of this earth. And she thought that it was so bad, she thought she had to call in too. And I'm glad she did. Sherry also says, male unneutered cat pee on furniture. Sherry wins the specific smell of the night award for that one. That's great. Thank you, Sherry. Tom says, Tom from New Berlin says, this time of year, anybody's garbage stinks. That's true.
Yes.
That's a bad one. Because you don't know what people, like bad meat. I was a garbage man when I was 19 for the summer. And I'm telling you, bad meat and bad milk are still, they just get me going. I cannot smell. And I don't know why people wait so long to throw stuff out, too. It's like it smells bad right when they throw it out. Then it sits in their can for like another 3 days and it's awful.
I have like a community garbage for my apartments, you know?
Yeah.
Anytime I go by that, I have to like cover my nose because it smells so bad.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Sherry says, Sherry from Horicon again, says turkey farms in Arizona. Yucky. Sherry has been the victim of many foul smells. She's listed like three of them here just tonight. So I think Sherry, if this were a contest, Sherry would be winning. She'd be a lap ahead of the rest of us. Conrad's mom checking in. Dead rotting fish. That is a bad one. And you know how I know that? My buddy Danny Thine, who lives here in Green Bay, one of my best friends from high school, his brothers used to play jokes on each other. And Danny put a dead fish in his brother's truck under the front seat. Because you don't check your truck ever under the seat until something starts to stink. Well, a few days later, he basically had to get the truck detailed. It smelled so bad.
No.
And they just started talking to each other again like a week ago, Tuesday. So dead rotting fish, that's a great one, Paula. Steve from Florida, Conrad's dad, checking in. Back in the day at the Homestead Farmhouse, a dead mouse that has died from time to time inside one of the walls. You know, it's funny. We've had mice from time to time in our house. We live by a lot of woods. And that is one of my biggest fears is like, you know, I don't smell anything, so I don't think there's mice in the walls. But what if they get in there and die, and your dad is saying they stink? Did your dad grow up on a farm?
Homestead, yeah, he did.
All right, so I'm going to believe
him. A little bit. Just a little bit.
Because I didn't think dead mice could smell that bad.
Yeah.
It makes me feel good, actually, because that means I don't have any in my walls. If I don't smell anything, I'm guessing.
One of my friends had a mouse in his apartment building, like, wall. Like, he could hear it, like, crawling around.
Oh, God, that's awful. That is just, I think I told you, we had a mouse once a few weeks ago, actually. I set a trap, and my wife got up, and she said, you didn't set a trap. And I said, I did set a trap. She goes, there's nothing out there. I'm like, what? I got up, it's like 4 o'clock in the morning. I look, there's no trap. I know I didn't dream this. So I start looking around. The mouse did not die from the trap, and it dragged the trap through an entire room to my daughter's bedroom, and it was trapped under the door in the trap. And it was like making this clicking noise and the tail was wiggling around. It was awful.
That's terrible.
I mean, it. So whatever. I let it go. Nice. So that's our question tonight. Let us know, folks. What is the most foul stench? This was inspired by Conrad's burning popcorn that he witnessed this morning and had to leave his building. Something tells me you would have had a tough time in Nam.
You know what I'll say? It's just for me.
What do you mean? Like that's
just for me. Just another smell, and this is a different one from.
Oh, okay.
The one thing I can't handle, and it's food related, is tuna out of a can.
Oh, you've said that before.
That smell is terrible to me. I just can't handle it. I don't know why. It's just awful.
You're talking like regular chunk light tuna in spring water.
I'm talking like the ones in the can, you know?
Wow.
But like, I like tuna like steaks.
Yeah.
I just don't like tuna in a can. I think it smells
better.
Yeah.
I think it's in the can too long and that smell kind of festers in there.
Yeah.
It builds up a little bit. Can you almost smell it right now with your burnt popcorn? I'm going to try to make Conrad puke on the air. I think that would be a radio first. So we got a lot to talk about. Asher Brooks is here in just a few minutes. He is the owner of the Firehouse Comedy Club in Sturgeon Bay. Great little joint. You got to check it out. They've got a show right now. You can rush over there if you're in the Sturgeon Bay area. And he is a comedian, too. He'll be along in just a few minutes. And then at 8:20, our old buddy Frank Anderson is here to talk about Wisconsin bands and some of the cool stuff I just saw on Wisconsinology.com. That's at 8:20. Fun show. Let us know what your most foul stench that you've ever experienced in your life is. That's tonight's question. You can text. You can message us on the stream or the app. Get in touch with us somehow, folks. That's all we ask. It's great to have you. Great to be doing radio on a Tuesday night. In the beautiful state of Wisconsin, this is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Great to have you with me on this beautiful Tuesday, Wisconsin summer night, as the summer winds down here. What better night? What better day, actually, than a Tuesday to talk comedy? And that's what we're going to do right now. We've had this gentleman on the show before. He owns a comedy club in Door County, which I think is really cool. Door County is one of my favorite places in the world, and I love that there's a comedy club there. And it is my pleasure to welcome back to Nightlight, Asher Brooks. Hey, buddy.
How are you doing today, sir? Thank you for having me back.
It is my pleasure. And I know you're kind of making time for us tonight because you have you've got a show to do tonight, which is great. And it'll probably be airing shortly after this interview. So I appreciate you taking the time and helping us get the word out.
Oh, absolutely. No, and thank you for putting us on the show. We are growing bigger and bigger each time. But, you know, to have people recognizing the work we're doing, bringing comics up, feels really, really great.
Well, it's excellent. And for those of you that did not listening, who did not hear our first interview with Asher a few months ago when the club was even newer, tell us a little bit about your club, Asher, for people listening for the first time who are unaware. Give us some background about the Firehouse Comedy Club.
Yes, sir. So we started last year about this time, about last year in May, we started doing open mics just for the local folks. People started coming out, performing for us. But quickly, we had so much interest, we started bringing up headliners. We started paying people to come up, started selling tickets. And the last six shows have been paid. Each show has been going better and better. And we've got a wonderful lineup of comics coming up tonight. Shelby Morgan, Vanessa Tortolano, and myself will be on the show tonight. But we're upstairs atop Door County Fire Company, which is our amazing sponsor. It's a restaurant here in Sturgeon Bay, and they've done such a great job helping us get set up. They are a wonderful restaurant, Broadway, downtown Sturgeon Bay. So you come right into the county, and we're one of the first things that you can find. Or if you're on the way out, one of the last things you can do before you head back home.
That's so great. And you've got some new things going on in the club, as I understand it. We discussed when we spoke a few days ago, some changes.
Say again, sir.
Did you say you have some new improvements to the club when we last spoke that you guys are in the process of putting together?
Oh, yes. We've got some great improvements that are happening. We've got a larger seating capacity now. We have a full bar upstairs. In fact, I'm watching our bartender make stuff in front of us. He's getting everything ready because the show is going to be open soon. We've got a magnificent new backdrop. We've got these great speakers. And we're looking to, you know, just keep growing larger and larger. Eventually, sometime next year, we're in talks to do some like outlet shows. So actually bring our shows to some other areas here in Door County, kind of bounce around a little bit as well. But, well, you know, always staying true to the place that first gave us our feet up.
That's right. How did you find, I know you're not a native of Wisconsin. You come from the South, correct? Was it Georgia?
Yes, sir. I'm not from around here.
So what made you think, I got to start a comedy club in my adopted home state? And what made you think you could make a go of this in a small town too, which is really impressive?
Well, Door County is really lucky in that we have, I mean, this incredibly doubling, changing population. So every week, every few days, the entire population of Door County changes. Like 50% of the people that live up here are tourists.
Yeah.
And so we get this amazing influx of people year after year who have, you know, never been here before or coming back. And so it means those people are ready to see shows. They want to see things. There's also a great theater community up here. So my wife does, she works in local theater.
Nice.
And so that means there's a hungry audience for it. And as for why I set up a comedy club, it was because the other ones were too far away for me to go perform at. Purely selfish. I'm just trying to save gas money.
What, you mentioned tourists. Okay, and you guys do it once a month on a Tuesday.
Yes,
why did you pick Tuesday?
Well, because when you live in like a tourist area, you know what I mean? Fridays and Saturday nights are so chock full of things to do already. I mean,
Okay. Imagine
if you were going to Boulder, Colorado, and you wanted to open a ski lodge. What are you doing trying to open a ski lodge in Boulder, Colorado? There's already 17 of them. So what you want to do is when you're in a tourist town like this, find a night that doesn't already have something going on. So you can fill that slot, fill that niche. And besides, a lot of our customers aren't also tourists. They are locals, people who work in the service industry, just like most of us do up here. The year-rounders, they get Tuesdays and Mondays and Wednesdays as their dead day because nobody gets a true weekend up here.
Right.
Everybody's working through. So you want to do something on your day off. And how often do you say, well, it's my Tuesday night off. Glad there's so many things going on and we're filling that niche. We're providing for people who want to do something, but you know, don't get those Fridays and Saturdays off because they're the ones working in the bars and the clubs and all the fun places.
Well said. Were there other clubs in the area? Like did you, when you were looking into doing this, have there been past comedy clubs in Door County?
I do believe a couple of places have had comedy nights.
Okay.
There's another few places up here I know that dip their toes in occasionally, but I know we're the only dedicated space. And if things keep going well, we will continue to be the only dedicated space. I want, you know, other places to flourish. I want comedy to flourish, but I also want comedy to be performed in places where it is safe to grow. You know what I mean? You don't want comedy to pop up someplace. It doesn't go very well. The comic's still disheartened. The audience doesn't like it. And then just because the show wasn't put together very well, the whole end thing ends up being a bust. And then you get another cover band in for the next 6 months before somebody gets the, you know, the heart to try it again. So you want comedy to flourish in places where it looks good, where everyone has a good time, and where people believe and they feel it. This is a good thing. We can keep doing this. This is fun. This is going to make us money.
Very well said. My guest is Asher Brooks. He owns the Firehouse Comedy Club. It's in Sturgeon Bay. They have a show tonight if you want to hustle over there, or they have another one coming up in September, too. They do it once a month. It sounds like a great space. Let's talk a little bit about booking. How do you find comics, Asher? Do you have to pay more to get them to go so far north, or are comics looking for stages regardless? What's that process like for you?
Well, it's a mixture. You know, as always, there's loads and loads of young, hungry comics who are always excited to perform. I had a guy offer me a show in Beloit, Illinois today, which is 3 hours away from me.
Yeah.
At a cool $50. But, you know, things like that, shows like that, I don't want to be a show like that. So we pay quite well. If I'm going to bring you up, it's going to be a good show and it's going to be worth your time. So I tend to go to shows. I go to work with other comics, and when I work with somebody and I see that they can handle themselves, when I see that they've done a good job, that's when they get an email from me or a message on Facebook and says, hey, I'd love to get you up. What's your availability? Although I've had people cold call me, and that's always exciting because, you know, I'm still relatively new to this. I mean, 10 years is what people say that you have to use to get under your get your legs underneath you. So wow. I'm sure there's fabulous comics in the Green Bay area that I just haven't met yet. But I've been very lucky to have a couple of comics from that Green Bay area. Some really fabulous people, John Egan, Kristen Leidy. They were some of the first people I worked with, and they are just fantastic at recommending other people that they think are worth your time and being worth that time and investment in the first place. Those two are just fantastic.
Kristen's great. We've had her in the studio on the show before, and she was a lot of fun to talk to.
Absolutely.
Do you look for certain types of comics, Asher, or does it just matter that they're funny? And how many of the comedians percentage wise would you say are from Wisconsin?
I would say, goodness gracious, probably 90% of the comics I've hired so far have been from Wisconsin.
Oh, nice.
One guy I had up from Illinois, he was a fantastic guy, but things worked out with his schedule. He was coming up with his family. But most of the people I hire are from Wisconsin, mostly because right now, that's the people who I can pay well, people who are close by, so yeah. I can pay well and get them up here. I've had a guy from LA reach out before. I've had guys from, you know, kind of across the nation reaching out, and I'm always honest with them. I was like, look, I want to bring you up here. I want to have you do a great show, but right now you're going to be doing it for peanuts because that's what I can offer you. But, you know, as we get more people coming through, as we get, you know, more legs underneath us financially, it would be incredible to have bigger names come out, make us part of tours that go to Skyline, go to these corporate clubs, swing up to Door County, do a show on a Tuesday on an off night. But as for the kind of comics, they've got to be funny. And what I've had to learn is that what I think is funny as a 28-year-old guy is a little bit different than what my audience, who are primarily tourists and older folks here in Door County, think is funny. And finding that sweet spot in between what I think is funny and what my customers are looking for, that has been the real strength of this, is trying to find people who I know are going to make me laugh and are going to be worth our time, but are going to make my customers laugh and make them have a good time.
So assuming people want to hear this interview and rush over to your club right away, tell us a little bit about Vanessa and Shelby, your comedians tonight.
Absolutely. Vanessa is fantastic comic. She's been performing quite a long time. I know she has, like I do, a bit of a drama and theater background. Okay. She's going to be our headliner tonight. I saw her perform at an event place up in here in Door County, and she was so animated. I watched her just dominate the stage. And sometimes when you see a comic on a big stage, like a stage that's, you know, 4 to 5 times bigger than they are, they can get lost. She filled up the whole thing. She nice. Took up all that room, had all this wonderful energy, and I'm really excited to see her tonight. And then Shelby, I don't want to brand anybody a rising star, but I've seen her perform a number of times, and it has just been funnier and funnier each time. I saw her working at a show in Fond du Lac, and she was really, really funny. And whenever someone is better than me, which is often, I will let you know, they are one of the first people that I go talk to and say, hey, you should come up to the club. She was funnier than I was. And, you know, I think she came up from Austin. That's where she's from originally. So she's done some performances down there. I think she was on Kill Tony. I know she's won some roast battles as well. So I might have a roast coming up. So I'm going to see if I can't, you know, press her for tips and tricks later tonight after the show.
Where can people find tickets, Asher, if they want to come to the show? How much are they, and where can you steer people?
Well, tickets you can get at firehousecomedyclub.com, our website, firehousecomedyclub.com, our website. You can buy tickets there. Tickets are generally $10 in advance and then $15 at the door. We started doing $5 tickets. People started coming saying, look, man, you got to charge us more. We're having a good time. You got to charge us more money. So $10 in advance, $15 at the door, $10 in advance, $15 at the door.
Fantastic. Wow. Okay. So, all right. So you have another show in September. Do you have the show booked? And what can you tell us about those comedians?
Oh, yes, sir. We do have that show booked. That is going to be on the last Tuesday of September. That date escapes me right now. But last Tuesday of September, we have Trevor Klumpner, who's going to be our feature. Trevor's worked all over the Midwest and farther. I actually have met him a couple of times. It'll be the first time he and I will be on a show together, which I'm really excited about. And then Mike Marvell, who I actually just worked with. We did a private event in Door County here for this group of people. I think they were doing a poker run. It was this thing where they drove boats around and drank all day for poker cards. I didn't know what to expect, but we did the show together and they told us to be PG-13. We come up and the host says some of the filthiest things I can imagine before we even get on stage. And so that was the moment I knew watching Mike perform that he could roll with punches. He's fantastic with crowd work. And I'm really excited to get him up here and see if we can't get some people playing with him on stage. So that'll be the last Tuesday of September. It's going to be fantastic.
Very cool. So what, all right, you're the house MC pretty much. What's that like? Like when people see you all the time, does that force you to write more? Do you have to write new material and keep it fresh?
Yes, I do. Constantly. There are a couple of main stage jokes that I like to use because even with having people come back over and over and over again, I'd say almost 50, 60% of our audience are newcomers each time. But it is a writing challenge for sure. So that's why it's so important to get to go to open mics down in Green Bay, to go down to ones in Skyline and Appleton, because the material that I know is really good, you have to hone that. You know, have to sharpen it like a knife. But up here at my club, I do the 10 minutes, the 15 minutes that I've worked on. It's usually newer material, so I have a lot of great friends and folks I work with that help me sharpen it up, some great writing partners that I reach out with. And that means that the jokes are generally pretty new, but they're sharp. Hopefully they're funny, but yeah, it is definitely a writing challenge to make those newer premises, those new things hit each time. But in a couple of years, I'll have what, 7 to 8 hours worth of material, all of it very medium.
I love how self-deprecating you are. When I was a comedian and I toured all over in the 90s, the guys I loved hanging out with the most are the ones who could laugh at themselves. Like I had no time for people who wanted to tell me how great they were. You know what I mean? And you must run into that too. My guest is Asher Brooks. We'll have a couple more minutes with Asher after a very quick break here. He owns the Firehouse Comedy Club in Sturgeon Bay. Check it out. They got a show tonight, and they got another one in September. And we'll talk a little bit more with Asher in just a minute. Wisconsinology joins the show at 8:20. Always fun to talk to Frank. He is a frequent flyer here on Nightlight. Right now, my guest is Asher Brooks. He owns the Firehouse Comedy Club in Sturgeon Bay. They have a show tonight. If you want to rush over, they have another one in September. They do it once a month. Asher, do you ever see the club maybe expanding and be going full time, or is it just not that big of an area? Is there room for expansion?
I do think there's room for expansion. I think the expansion is probably more towards doing something maybe biweekly. So, you know, hitting on the second week of the month, then the fourth week of the month, you know, because I do want open mics to still survive. We've had the moment we started doing the regular paid shows, moved away from the open mics. I did have some folks immediately go, dang, I really wanted to come up and perform. You know, I've been looking for something in my area to do to perform. So I would like to get back towards that. Unfortunately, I am a little too busy to bring this, I think, full time.
Yeah.
I think if, you know, if I win the lottery, Pete, you'll be the first one to know because you'll be invited front row seat to every show I'll put on.
You don't have to invite me. Yeah. Just give me a taste of the winnings. That's all I want. No.
Yeah. A cool 13%. How about that?
Sure. That sounds great. So who are your influences comedically, Asher?
I definitely, when I was a kid, my mom and dad, they didn't really like me listening to anything with too many swear words in it. So I grew up listening to things like the Blue Collar Comedy Tour, those guys, being Bill Engvall, Jeff Foxworthy, Dan White, all those different people. But when I get up to college, I started looking at people like Lewis Black, who I thought was really fantastic.
Yeah.
You start studying some of the greats like Eddie Murphy and Carlin. But I'd say the people I'm most really, really impressed by these days, I still think Bo Burnham's got a handle on something that nobody else can grab onto right now. Every time I see his show, I think it's hilarious. I also begin crying. It's fantastic.
Wow, that's great. So in terms of other clubs, like you've been around to Wisconsin, you said you scouted other clubs. Are there other clubs you're fans of in the state? I know there's Comedy on State, Skyline here locally. What clubs are you a fan of?
Oh, well, I've heard some great things about the Comedy Cabin in Janesville. There's a couple of people who do some good stuff down in Green Bay. I know that Don't Tell Comedy is also getting pretty big down there, which is really, really cool. Huh. There's some people that are involved with that. I think there are locals. But for right now, I think the best clubs to go to are going to be like Comedy Cabin in Janesville. You've got Comedy on State. You've got Milwaukee Improv, places like that. And then, of course, in Appleton, Skyline Comedy Club is going to be, it's just got that distinctive logo in the background. It's going to be the mecca, I think, for open micers for a while, just because it's just going to be the best place to come and put your stuff on. And we're going to see people who are real professionals.
I'm glad you said that about open micers. You said it's important to you to have a stage for open micers. Are they on the same night that you have the shows, or do you have different nights for open micers, and where can people find out more information about that?
No, you want to do open night. Right now we don't have open mics on the book. I'm hoping this winter expand it out a little bit, because then it will be locals that will have the time to come up and do an open mics. I think is important to grow your local comedy scene. It also helps you sharpen your material. I mean, I know every open mic I do, I get like 0.5% better. But I do think if you're going to do those, you got to do them separate. That way you don't end up, you know, bringing people on and flushing, you know, people out who thought they were coming to see professional shows versus right. open mics, which are, you know, really forgiving spaces.
Absolutely. All right. Last question for you in terms of your comedy. You also say, it says in your bio, you host a podcast called the Horrible History Podcast. Love the name. What can you tell us about it?
Oh, well, Horrible History Podcast. I've been doing that for a couple of years now. It's something I've been fascinated with. My day job, what I do, my Clark Kent to my Superman job, is I'm a ghost tour guide. So every day I give ghost tours to families and couples. I tell really, really scary, sad stories. And what I've really fallen in love with is how truly horrifying real history is. Like, the worst horror movie you've ever seen is nothing compared to the invention of the ice pick lobotomy. One of my favorite episodes was about how they invented the ice pick lobotomy, basically to deal with the fact there was no way to sedate mental patients before we had really great medicine. So there are these people who would be mentally incapacitated to a point where they would be violent. And so there were these awful stories you hear of people being locked up in padded cells or put in straitjackets. All of that ended when the ice pick lobotomy was invented because it made people less violent. However, about 20 years after the lobotomy was invented, the ice pick lobotomy, well, medicine became viable ways to sedate people, but the guy who invented the ice pick lobotomy refused to believe that his practice was no longer necessary. He drove around the country, and I kid you not, the lobotomobile, like Whoa. The Popemobile, but for lobotomies, and he would perform them like stage shows. He even had people take pictures of him while he was lobotomizing people. He did it as a performance on stage. He killed hundreds of people through complications because they're not a safe procedure, but it was just one man's ego. He couldn't let it go.
What's the copay on something like that?
A lobotomy? Well, like I said, you can do it with an ice pick if you're willing to really mess up your skull, Chief.
Whoa. I was not expecting that to be what the podcast was about. I thought it was going to be like a comedy related, although I'm sure you have fun with that within that, but where can people hear that?
It's a lot of fun, but you know, it's a lot darker when you say it out loud, I suppose.
Where can people find that if they want to listen to that?
They can find that everywhere. I started doing that last year. It's on all the local spots. You can get that on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. That's everywhere. I've had people come on the ghost tour. I've had people come to the shows who are fans of it, who have never heard of me before, but they're like, wait a minute, I've heard your voice talk about some truly sick and awful things before. And I say, that's me.
That's great. All right, last question for you, buddy. I know you got a show to put on tonight. What are you watching on TV? Anything you can recommend?
Oh, gosh. I think the last thing, the new season of Alone dropped on Netflix, that survival show. Big fan of Alone. I love watching, take real survivalists, put them out in the wilderness, watch them go nuts. It's fantastic.
Really? And what about movies? Have you seen any of the summer blockbusters?
Yeah, I saw Deadpool versus Wolverine. Not Deadpool versus Wolverine. I saw Deadpool and Wolverine. I thought that was okay. I didn't hate it, but I did like the first ones a little bit better. It felt like it was more of a send-off to the X-Men movies than anything. And, you know, I wanted to see a Deadpool movie. Although Hugh Jackman, as always, did a fantastic job as Wolverine. He was great. I just wanted more Deadpool, less X-Men.
I love a thumbnail review. That is awesome. Hey, buddy, thanks for your time tonight. Can't wait to see your comedy club one of these times. Knock 'em Dead tonight and in September. And come back and talk to us about ghosts sometime. We'd love that. So,
yes, sir. Absolutely. September 24th will be that next show. Thank you so much for having me on, Pete.
You
appreciate
got it. That's Asher Brooks. Break a leg tonight, buddy. We'll be back. Frank Anderson is here at 8:20 from Wisconsinology. We're coming right back on Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network.